We've taken the show on the road. Good evening from the Sports Authority in Vernon Hills. Zach Zaidman alongside 85 Bear Tom Thayer. Bears All Access brought to you by Sports Authority rolls on. Perfect venue for our show, and we're pleased to be joined by inside linebacker. I think they call you the Jack, right? Is that the right way to describe
yeah, that's
it? The Jack linebacker, Christian Jones.
What does that designate? What is does Jack? You know, they call the Shea McClellan's position the Mike linebacker, and that was always the guy to the strong side. Mm-hmm. Does Jack stand for anything specifically, or is it just a name that kind of has evolved in this modern day defensive terminology?
Yeah, I guess it's something that just evolved.
You gotta speak.
Yeah, I think it's just something that just evolved into calling the Jack. But I guess Jack has got a guy that's got a. Be able to cover and
jack of all trades,
jack of all trades, be able to play the run, do all different stuff.
Have you had the communication in your ear yet for a game?
Yeah, I have.
How was that experience?
Oh, the first time was a little shaky, you know. We was on the road in Kansas, and you know, it's kind of loud there, and it's a little fuzzy sometimes with the mic, and I never had the headphones in my ear before, so I had to get really have to focus in and listen.
But did it make you study more so you didn't rely mm-hmm. on it, hearing it exactly?
Yeah.
And did you ever hear something that you weren't 100% mm-hmm. sure of? If you heard, you know, something, you know, because there's some similarities to the way you call things.
Oh, yeah. Well, we have a lot of times like that. And I just turn to my coach and be like, and he just signals it in, so I'd be able to get it from there.
Man.
He did. I remember it. Shea goes down. Mm-hmm. Against the Chiefs, you go out there and they quickly, I mean, it's like a NASCAR pit crew. Whenever Tony Medlin and Carl have to take over the helmet, so all of a sudden they're playing around with your helmet, taking some of the padding out, putting it in the headphones and everything. And then you go out there, but you also had them signal so you could see, because that stuff you know off the top mm-hmm. of your head. But I think the real interesting issue is when you get in a huddle and now everyone's looking at you because they mm-hmm. need the call from you. What's that like?
At first, it was different for me at first. I've never been in a role like that. But, you know, a lot of guys are depending on you to get the call. So I had to be able to be clear and be vocal. But, I mean, it turned out pretty good after a while.
If you didn't need it, do you think if you could hear the defense's call that it would be beneficial for you? Or are you okay with Shea having the communication, him having all the commands and just mm-hmm. you just listening to him? Or would you like to hear it as well as Shea?
At first, when I first put it in my ear, I was like, oh, this is going to be tough. And then as I started doing it more, I kind of liked doing it. Just the fact that I felt like it helped me grow a little bit as a player and be able to communicate better with my teammates. So, you know, it was – I was able to adjust to it.
Man, you think of everything you've lived through in almost your first 2 years in the NFL seasons, change of position, change of philosophy, change of terminology, and then having that device put in your helmet. Did you ever have it in college?
No, I haven't.
Really? So your first experience with that device, and I don't want to harp on it, but I think the difficulty of it is a little understated mm-hmm. because the terminology of the defenses are so complex, and somebody could say, what'd you say, or what do you mean, or what do I do on that?
Exactly. And then you got the DBs, although they never want to come in the huddle, so you got to scream it out to them. They're always like, what's the call? And then I got to process everything and be able to get everybody lined up, so... It can be difficult at times, but as you get, you know, it's all about reps. Once you get more reps to it, you get more used to doing
right.
it.
You would think it's easier on the road, though, where you first had to do it because the crowd usually is quiet when the opposing offense is on the field.
Yeah, you would think that, but Kansas, it was pretty loud there. So.
Arrowhead Stadium's a very loud place. What's Shea like in the huddle? Because when we see him in interviews, and that's where most people get an opportunity to meet Shea McClellan, they see him doing his thing on the field, but they're not in the huddle with him, and he seems quiet, soft-spoken. Yeah. Is he like that when he gathers you guys in the huddle during the game?
No, he's loud in the huddle, and he's calm, too, which is the best thing about it. Sometimes the coach will be a little bit late getting us a call, you know, with all the hurry-up stuff, and Shea just be calm waiting for the call, and then sometimes he'd be like, all right. We just go quads, and then we're able to get the calls out to everyone. But everybody, they respond to them well.
Are you guys going to exchange Christmas gifts inside the inside linebacker room?
No, we never talked about it, but I don't know, maybe some surprises by our coach.
You know, now you guys have all been around each other for a little while. You start gaining a little bit more of a camaraderie in there, and it's nice that you've had that room, and you've had the ability to grow along with Shea for the last, at least through this season, and even being around him for a couple of years now.
Yeah.
You know what I noticed, speaking of the holiday gifts that you were talking about? So you go inside Hallis Hall, and each individual position group has their own classroom. It's almost like college, you know, where you study, you watch tape, you go over everything that you need to go over in order to get ready for a game and review what just happened. What I find interesting is last year the tight ends started to decorate their room, mm-hmm. right, with all this Christmas stuff, and you know, and now the offensive line room took it to another level.
Yeah, they did.
Like, can you describe? Is it like that on the defensive side?
No, our room's not decorated at all. I just noticed that today. I'm just walking, leaving the room. I look in.
They're very festive.
Yeah, I just peek. I'm like, are those reindeers hanging from the ceiling?
That's a unique group of guys, though. When you put those many big guys in one room, and you know, you got to cut the levity a little bit. It seems like less people in the room. How many people are inside your meeting room?
We have two Johns. We got Sean, Leroy. About seven people in that room.
So you know, you do have a much smaller room that you know the attention's being captured. So. The offensive line, they need a little bit out of there.
You know what I do find interesting? You know, when you were counting all the different linebackers, especially on the inside, a lot of young guys. Yeah. It's not as though you guys have someone to look at in that room with tons of experience. Who's the leader?
Well, right now we consider Shea as the leader for us. You know, he's the oldest one in the room, and he has the most NFL experience out of all of us. So, you know, he's the kind of guy we kind of fall behind a little bit.
What's been the biggest challenge adjusting to this defense and specifically playing the position that you play at?
Just being consistent for what you do, or being in the right spots at all times, making sure you're doing everything right. I'll say.
What about when now you guys start getting ready for Adrian Peterson? Mm-hmm. When you sit there and you watch tape of your opponent, is it hard to watch everything, because we all are fans of the great players in the NFL, and even when I watch tape of the opponent, sometimes I get caught up in just watching Adrian Peterson. When you listen to the information that you're supposed to be looking at during the play, is it easy for you to keep your eyes spread out, or do you like to, you know, do you find yourself looking at Adrian Peterson a little more?
You know, I had that problem last year when I was a rookie. I'll come in and be like, oh snap, like, look at this guy, that's Adrian Peterson over there. That's Aaron Rodgers, you know. Especially when we played the Patriots last year. I'm like, that's Tom Brady. It's crazy. But I'm more locked in to, you know, what we have to see, especially now, you know, the linebacker inside guys have to be more vocal. So you got to be able to see everything and alert guys on certain things that's going on.
When you go and beat the Packers, does it build confidence within yourself? Because the experiences you had with them before were pretty difficult. Now you go into Green Bay on really bad weather night, and you beat them. Does it kind of say, okay, Christian, I see Aaron differently, or I see their offensive line, and you start to have some positive reinforcement to yourself?
Yeah, you do. And like you said, you see guys like Adrian Peterson, Aaron Rodgers, you hear all these things about them, you think these guys don't do anything wrong. They're going to make everything, Aaron's going to make a perfect pass every time. But it shows if you know what you're doing out there and do the right things, being at the right places, you'll be able to make some plays on those guys. So you kind of help grow a little bit, you know?
Oh, yeah.
When we come back, we got to take our first time out on the show. When we come back, I want to ask you about one of your most famous teammates from college and Eddie Goldman. So we'll discuss that next. Christian went to Florida State. Next week, you're going to be playing somebody that you know very well. So we'll discuss next. Tom Thayer is here. I'm Zach Zaidman. This is Bears All Access from Sports Authority in Vernon Hills. Brought to you by Sports Authority. We've got the basketball. Well, we'll discuss this when we come back on Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score. The Chicago Bears Network presents Inside the Bears, covering the world of Bears football on and off the field with Anthony Adams and Lauren Screeden. Brought to you by Jimmy John's, and airing every Sunday night at 11:05 on Fox 32 to Chicago. Or go to chicagobears.com/insidethebears. This week on the show, Hronis Grassou goes for a ride in big guys in compact cars, and the Bears rookies take kids on a holiday shopping spree. You can hear some of the laughter in the background. That's because Christian Jones, our guest for the entire hour here on Bears All Access, he's been part of that little segment we'll discuss in just a bit. Zach Zaidman, Tom Thayer with you. We are broadcasting live from Sports Authority in Vernon Hills. If you're driving around Route 60, then stop on by, say hello, because Christian, they call him Cheese because he's always smiling. So he's not intimidating when he doesn't have the helmet on. And we've got Tom Thayer here as well, the 85 Bear. But why do they have us sitting in the basketball section?
They want to move merchandise, you know, and this is the perfect time to buy it. And you got hockey, you got lacrosse, you got basketball.
Where's the football?
Huge selection of shoes.
I mean, where's the football? Where are the helmets? Where are the actual footballs?
I mean, there's some cool basketball shoes over here, you know?
Yeah. All you guys wear the cool basketball shoes. You started out, your first sport, your first love was basketball, right?
Yeah, yes, sir.
So when did you switch? When did you make the switch to football?
When did you know it wasn't your future?
You know, believe it or not, I was a pretty good basketball player.
There's a lot of pretty good basketball players.
I was nice.
All right, if you and Steph Curry played horse, how long would it take for him to beat you? What would you have? I mean, obviously you would have horse and he would have nothing.
Can I go first?
Yeah.
Okay, if I go first, I might get him because I'm going to be dunking.
That's high praise.
I won't, no three-point shooting.
Okay.
Yeah, but if you miss that dunk, it's over.
Exactly. If he starts shooting, you got it, man.
So in high school, coming from Florida, right, in high school, who was the best player? Did you take on anyone that went out?
In basketball?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Well, I have a couple of teammates. One plays for the Mavericks, Chandler Parsons. And we had one other guy who plays in the NBA. He plays for the Grizzlies. And I played against Austin Rivers. Kind of schools right across the street. Well, not right across the street, but in the same area from each other. But
the Orlando area?
Yeah, Orlando. Yeah. There's a lot of good basketball in the Orlando area. It's about my time in high school, probably about three or four schools came out of the state championship. So it's pretty strong basketball here.
Do you think growing up in that climate helped you become a better athlete because you got to do it all year round? Now you've been in the Midwest for a period of time and you understand what the winters are all about. Mm-hmm. Could you imagine growing up? I mean, you know, that the whole thing about just having that access to being an athlete all year round, it had to help you develop, huh?
Yeah, I think so. For one, the weather is pretty much always good. Right. Always good down there. So you can always be outside and running around. And, you know, we go from a lot of guys in Florida, we go from football right into basketball. Some guys did track, you know, baseball. So there's a lot of full-time athletes in Florida. And that's kind of how most kids are raised up there. You got to, when your sport's over, you got to do something else.
When did you meet weightlifting to know that mm-hmm. had to be an avenue to help mm-hmm. you actually become a football player?
I got a coach who actually played for Coach Fox with the Panthers. He was a linebacker, and he came to my school my junior year, and I was playing safety at the time. And the first thing he saw, I was in the weight room. The first thing he said to me is like, "You're not gonna be a safety anymore." And then he got me in the weightlifting, made me join the weightlifting team. So
very
I
good.
Ended up putting on some size then.
Yeah, he's built like that. You don't have to worry about the size to play the linebacker position. I think that's what made you a player that the Bears wanted to bring in, because you had that great size and the height, you know, Urlacher size when you think about it in terms of the height. But the thing that Tom talked about, when did basketball tell you that basketball wasn't right for you and football was the sport that you had to start playing?
Well, I guess the first thing when I started getting letters from, you know, really big schools for football, and I was getting like small letters from like, I got Florida Atlantic, FIU, North Florida for basketball. And I'm like, okay, I'm a sophomore, and I'm getting these. So I'm like, when school from like UCLA, Florida State for football. So I'm like, I guess football is probably going to be where I ended up going.
Right. You know, that's what I'm saying. When you meet the weight room and you start understanding the development, what that does for you, did you always want to stay close to the area you grew up, mm-hmm. or did you seriously consider going to a distance school?
You know, at the time I said, whatever school I like, I'm end up going, and I ended up visiting Tennessee, Notre Dame, and those are actually the two schools I really, really liked. But when it came on the signing day, like, I guess it hit me. I'm like, damn, I don't want to leave the state.
Did you do one of the things where you had the several hats out?
Yeah,
you
pulled, I did.
You did?
Yeah, I did. So I ended up taking Florida State.
You know, Tom, Are you okay that he decided against going to Notre Dame?
Yeah, I think it would have been a good decision for him to come out. But, I mean, what was your recruiting? What was the weather like on your recruiting visit to Notre Dame?
September, I believe there was some snow on the ground.
No. They brought you in during the nice weather, so it's just in case that you hated the winter. Because
it's kind of cold.
I took my recruiting trip there in February, and it is a lot different campus in February than it is in September mm-hmm. and October and such.
What was Florida State like? Because you're playing a big game every week. Yeah. If you're not winning a championship, it's a disappointing season. Mm-hmm. How does that prepare you for the level of football you're playing now?
It helps a lot. Like you said, it's a big football town, college town, and they expect winning there. You know, the few bad years we had before I got there, and it was unacceptable. They're like, oh, we gotta have some kind of change. So, I feel like being in that environment kind of, you know, helped me understand like how I was gonna be here, especially with it's not close to the level athletes you have in the pros, but some pretty good talent in Florida, so I had a lot of good experience over there.
Does Eddie Goldman's success surprise you, or do you see a lot of potential ahead of them? I don't want you to evaluate his rookie season, but does it surprise you that he's such a big-time contributor at this late stage of his rookie year?
No, not at all. Eddie's always been a player, even as a freshman at Florida State. You see his size, you see how quick he is off the ball. I feel like the sky's the limit with him, you know. He's just scratching really what he can really do. I think he can be a real special player once he continues growing.
Right. He's a real well-spoken guy. I heard an interview with him on the radio today. But what I really like about him is I always talk about his discipline on the line of scrimmage. He doesn't get fooled by opponents' quarterbacks' cadences. Mm-hmm. He's got really good discipline, and he knows how to use that explosiveness as one of the key elements of his game now. And you know how difficult it is when you're standing right above the football in the inflection of the quarterback's voice. It even makes the linebackers at that distance
exactly.
jump a little.
Yeah. And like you said, it really is like having great discipline. Like he gets off the ball so quick. And you know, he's never jumped off sides. I'm like, how's he doing this?
Right, that was one of the first things I noticed about him because that's an innate ability in a defensive lineman. It's sometimes it can really mess with a defensive lineman's career if they just repeatedly jump off sides, and you know, that's just such a negative.
And the other thing is, you know, you think of a defensive lineman, you think of his hands, you think of his strength. You don't talk a lot about his feet, but Eddie has the ability to move sideline to sideline. It's not just straight up the middle.
Yeah. Eddie's funny, man. He thinks he can play DB too. There'll be some times he'll be rushing, he starts dropping. He's like, why'd you do that? He's like, I was being the quarterback, man. I'm going to try to get one. What you doing, man?
Did he drop in a game last week?
And he almost tipped it.
And it was funny because you only have instances of a second to make a type of decision you want to do. And then all of a sudden I go, that's not the defense call, but he's going out there.
Exactly. If he had a little more hops on him, he would have grabbed it.
Man, when you guys were watching that, when you were watching the video, because as the game's going on, you don't have a lot of time to focus in on that. But when you guys watched it the next day, what's it like in the defensive meeting room when everyone's watching it? Because I'm sure one of the coaches circled that. What's going on here?
No, it's just we just laugh about it. It's just funny just to see him do that. He's so big and he's dropping like, dude, what you doing? Go rush.
But you know, he is impressive, and I think that's a great part of this football team is because you got such a wide variety of guys that are contributing. And you got a bunch of young guys that are pointed in a good direction. Mm-hmm. You know, I know some of the results of the games of the last couple of weeks are frustrating. Yeah. But, you know, there's still I tell you, it's not one play, but everything corrections turn into compliments. You know, if you lose a game, everything turns into a correction you get criticized for.
Exactly.
If you win the game, then you get complimented a lot more and you have to make constructive, coaching points.
Yeah, it's just a different vibe if you after a win or after a loss, you know. Right. Kind of got to take it as it comes.
When we come back, we're going to get the inside scouting report on next week's opponent. Mm-hmm. You've already played the Vikings, so you know about them. And we'll get to Adrian Peterson, what you guys have to do to contain the Vikings. But we'll get the scouting report on the quarterback for next week's game down in Tampa Bay, someone you know very well. Christian Jones is here. I'm Zach Zaidman. 85 Bear Tom Thayer is here. We are live at the Sports Authority in Vernon Hills. Stop on by. Bears All Access rolls on Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score. Tune into the Bears Coaches Show, brought to you by McDonald's, with Jeff Joniak and the Bears coaching staff, Monday nights at 6:30 on News Radio 780 and 105.9 FM WBBM. 85 Bear Tom Thayer is here. I'm Zach Zabeman. We're broadcasting live from the Sports Authority in Vernon Hills with our guest for the full hour, Bears inside linebacker Christian Jones. And he went to Florida State. We'll get to the Vikings in a bit, because I know there's a possibility that some of your defensive coaches are listening right now, and they're probably going to get upset that we're talking about next week's opponent. I don't want an opponent breakdown. We're not breaking down the Buccaneers.
If they weren't playing tomorrow night, I wouldn't even let you bring it up. But because you're going to get a chance to evaluate them a little, you know, pre.
Right. It's not just the fact that they're playing tomorrow night. It's also the fact that they're playing next weekend, and there's no one on this team. Eddie Goldman knows him pretty well as well, but we're talking about Jameis Winston. He was your quarterback, helped you guys win a championship, right, at Florida State. What's he like? Because all we heard, this guy's the – there's never been a leader like this guy at the college level. They compare him to Tebow in terms of the leadership. What's he really like?
You know, he just has that personality that he walks into the room, everybody's just going to just like him, just the way he acts. He's funny guy, people person. That's outgoing. Like, that's just Jameis. We knew that the day he walked in, like, this guy's talking to everybody, don't even know who they are. So he's just that kind of person.
Have you ever got to hit him for real? I mean, not a protected red jersey. I mean, in a spring game, have you ever really hit him?
Man, if we'd have hit Jameis, we would have lost our scholarship.
Right. Well, that's what, you know, a little bit, you know, when Ben Roethlisberger first came in the league, there was guys that were bouncing off him. Mm-hmm. And literally, you know, trying to, you know, he would stay in the pocket, and he was such a tough target. Is Winston, is he more maneuverable, mm-hmm. or is he more physical?
Mm-hmm. I think Jameis just has a good, how should I say this, awareness in the pocket.
Right.
He's not like the fastest guy. He's quick feet, you know. He just knows when to get out the pocket. I never seen someone get a good hit on him because he just maneuvers out of it like that. But he's just good in the pocket.
Was he good in the pocket when he was young before he really knew the system, or mm-hmm. did it something he developed when he was in the same mm-hmm. system for a couple of years?
I think he just always had that. Even before we had EJ Manuel before Jameis was there, and he was redshirted. You know, he'd be on our practice squad, and everything, all those highlights you see him do, he'd do the same thing on the practice squad. So I think he just kind of always had it, you know.
I think it's fascinating that you're practicing every single day in college against NFL quarterback. I mean,
Think
about it, you know.
Well, you got a guy starting who's going to be a first rounder, then you got a guy who's behind him that's going to win awards, win a national championship, and everything else.
Right. I mean, it's just, it's crazy. Now, obviously, we talked about the good stuff with Jameis Winston. There was a lot of stuff off the field mm-hmm. that you guys, what was the challenge there mm-hmm. in terms of the media coverage and everything that was going on at Florida State during that time mm-hmm. that you guys were still able to have a high rate of success on the field?
You know, for Jameis, you gotta give him, that never really, you never saw a difference in the way he practiced or prepared for games after all that stuff that went on. He came in every day the same person, and I remember when we first found out about it as a team, or he said, it's about to come out, but, you know, we got to stay together. And we just blocked it out pretty much. We kept a real tight circle and just continued playing football.
Do you think, you know, it's weird because you guys are at the opposite ends of the spectrum in terms of coming out of college. He's a guy that's being evaluated for the first or second pick in the NFL draft, mm-hmm. and we know what happened. And then you become a free agent.
Yeah.
How did that settle with you? Did you realize that you belonged in the NFL because of the talent that you competed against in college, even on the practice level?
Mm-hmm.
Or, you know, because you have to have a certain sense of confidence when you come to an NFL training camp as a free agent, mm-hmm. and then the success you went on to have. Was that bred in you in college, or mm-hmm. did you just every day kind of chip away at it when you got to to look at the NFL guys?
When I just got here, my main goal was just to make the roster, and like you said, I just kind of just chipped away at it. Every day I just tried to come in and do what I had to do. You know, my role was special teams, and I came in, tried to take advantage of that, do all I can to be good in special teams. And then when I got my chance on defense, I was able to make a few plays and had some success. But, you know, it was like a it was a day-by-day process. It had to take about, you know?
You know, I was listening to Coach Rogers, the special teams coordinator, his press conference today, and he talked about some advice given to him was by a coach saying, look, just try to make the bus for the traveling team. Back in my freshman year, and I remember making the traveling team. Did you start out at the beginning when you were an eligible player that you made the traveling team? Were you contributing immediately, or what was like your initial playing like in college?
When I first got to college, I was on special teams, and I was able to get in some packages on defense, just blitz a little bit. But my primary goal was just special teams, you know. I come in sometimes on defense, but my focus was, you know, kickoff return, punt return.
Jersey in your locker.
Exactly, exactly.
I think the lesson that Jeff Rogers was sharing was that of Kadeem Carey.
Right, exactly.
You know, who's a guy that came in. He was a star running back in college, one of the best in the country. But in order to get himself active on game day, he needed to prove it on special teams because you're going to have a very difficult time playing behind Matt Forte. So that's kind of what he talked about.
You know, Kadeem's been doing a great job too, man. This guy, full of energy. He comes to work every day.
That's what John Fox was talking about. And you can, as a player watching these practices, he said that when you watch Kadeem Carey run, if you're one of his teammates, that inspires you.
It does.
Because he's going 100 miles an hour.
His blocks on kickoff return the last couple weeks.
Oh, my God.
He's been blowing guys
he
up.
Has.
And, you know, and you see what, you know, what is contributing a factor to that.
Yeah, he's a hard-working player. You know, and then when he gets his chance to go on offense, he runs hard. Like, I see him run over some linebackers. Man.
I always say he doesn't have a big tackling target either, because as soon as he knows conflict is coming, he's going to get low,
exactly.
And it just decreases the size where you have to hit him.
You know, Tom, we talked about this on the pregame show. We spoke with both Willie Young and Lamar Houston. While they were rehabbing, coming back from the injuries, the defense changes, new coaching staff, and they have to earn their reps in practice just to get an opportunity to convince the coaches they can play in a game. And something that Willie Young said to me that kind of still stands out, and I'm sure you talked about it, every snap, you have to earn the next snap. Nothing is guaranteed, even on the practice field.
That's right. You know, that's how it is. You're in a competitive business like this. Everybody's good. Everybody has talent. Everybody's here for a reason. So you gotta go out there and prove it.
And I bring it up because, you know, in college, you were a high-level player. And then you made some poor decisions. Did you think that perhaps because of that, you may not get a chance to play football at this level?
When it happened?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, for sure. That's why when I came in undrafted, I had to, like, my goal, I gotta come out every day, like I said, earn it, and show that I deserve to be here. So that's what I did.
Well, that's what I was asking before, is because you had to realize that you had the athleticism to compete just by the talent you saw in the college level, both in the games. But it's night, you know, you have to reinforce the coaches at this level even more on an everyday basis.
Mm-hmm. All right, so what was it like being in that little car with Anthony Adams?
It was real tight.
I mean, what car were you guys in?
I don't even know. Like, I don't even know if I've seen a car like that before. It looked like one of those small little European cars. I don't know.
Do you go anywhere in particular or just kind of cruise around the neighborhood?
Yeah, we just, you know, cruise around the area.
Right.
You know?
Yeah, and is he really driving the car?
Oh, yeah, he's driving.
So it's legit. You guys,
it's legit.
And you're not
a green screen.
And you have the seatbelt on, right?
Oh, yeah.
Because with AA driving, you never know, right? We got to take a time out when we come back. We've got our executive producer, Greg Miller, freaking out. Don't worry. I've got this. We're all good. Oh. It's Bears All Access brought to you by Sports Authority. From Sports Authority in Vernon Hills, stop on by. See how the show blast through the speakers of your radio. Kristen Jones is our guest. Tom Thayer is here. I'm Zach Zaidman on Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score. Bears All Access rolls on, brought to you by Sports Authority. From Sports Authority, we're in the one in Vernon Hills, right off Route 60. Stop on by, say hello. 85 Bear Tom Thayer is here. Sills Bears inside linebacker Kristen Jones. I'm Zach Zaidman. Happy to have you with us. Time now to decide on the player of the week from last week's game, brought to you by Sports Authority. You can go with Jay Cutler, who had a passer rating of over 100 and continues to play well at the quarterback position. Alshon Jeffrey, I don't know if you guys have checked out his numbers. You know, hasn't had the ability to play a complete season, but his numbers are as good as any of the receivers that have played a complete season so far. Very impressive. You know, Kyle Fuller had the interception. Who am I missing?
Zach Miller.
Zach Miller had had another big game.
Willie Young. Do you watch the game?
Yeah, I'm throwing it out there.
I'm just curious. I
started the conversation, you know, but I'm short and I have it from a weird vantage point, you know, there on the sidelines. It's not the best view, the view that you get from the sideline. That's why Tom, he's sitting up there. Press box perched over the field. He gets to see it the way fans see it.
I know I had to do that for Greg Miller.
I know. Anyway,
that nice view.
So who is it?
You know, I always look at somebody who's overcome something major. And to me, there's no bigger stories than Lamar and Willie Young. They bring it. They bring enthusiasm. They bring leadership. Their style of play is impressive, whether in a three-point stance or a two-point stance. They can make a good tackle like Trent Williams look bad. So to me, I like Willie Young. I like his attitude, and I like the obstacle he's overcome with his leg injury.
It was interesting listening to him talk today, and he's really said this all season, that even though he's playing outside linebacker in this scheme, he says he's never going to look at himself as a linebacker. He's still a defensive end. And Vic Fangio, your boss, the defensive coordinator of the Bears, was asked about this, Christian, and he goes, yeah, whatever. I mean, the bottom line is he's still on the outside. You can call it whatever position you want. He's an outside linebacker in this scheme, and he's taken to it.
Yeah, he has. He's been playing real well so far. And then, like you said, he brings him and Lamar, man. They bring a lot of energy.
But like you said, he's a football player, just like you. There's no way that you could morph from last year's position that you played on defense to this year's requirements and not just be a football player. And that's a lot like Lamar and Willie, and, you know, that's kind of the fun of developing as a player.
And like you said, it's awesome, too. That's the injuries they overcame, too, like the Achilles and then the ACLs, like –
Right, and then the change in the job requirements. Because like when you go back and you have one job requirement, you kind of fall into a pattern of how your body works. Mm-hmm. But now it changes, and there's a lot of variations, whether you're dropping back or moving forward, exploding out of a three-point stance or coming from a two-point stance. I think that's what has been impressive about Willie.
Willie said that even though he still considers himself a defensive end, it's probably the best thing that's happened to him because it's taught him about football in a way that he never looked at it before in terms of understanding coverages and doing things that you never have to worry about as a 4-3 defensive end where you're just going after the quarterback each time. And I think it's made him a better football player. That's something he talks about. Perseverance. Man, you know, before the game last week, Zach Miller talked to the team. Every week, John Fox picks a different player to talk to the team. And there's another guy who's overcome injuries to put himself.
Having a great season.
Yeah,
too.
Exactly. He's made himself a playmaker. He's earned the trust of the coaching staff and the quarterback to be there. To me, that's really the story of the 2015 Bears, is the ability to overcome what was a horrendous year last year. A lot of guys have overcome injuries, learning a new scheme, and just the fight that you guys have shown, I think, has been the story this season. Now, how do you take it to the next level? Because every coach will tell you, every player, I mean, it's nice that you guys are fighting, but it's about wins, right?
It is. And, you know, we're close, you know, but we just got to keep at it, keep going to work, getting in bed every day, and soon everything will start working out for us, you know.
You see any changes in the coaches in these final three games? Are they, you know, have more of an attitude of strict evaluation against these guys? Because, you know, I've been a part of seasons that we weren't in, you know, weren't making a playoff push, and not to say you're not, but there's a unique challenge that goes along with it. Is that a point of emphasis, or you kind of know it now that it's about play-to-play performance, which keeps you on the field?
Yeah, I think it is. Right now, they just want to see how guys are going to still respond to even what happened throughout the season. You know, you're going to be evaluated every day, so they're going to see how you go out there and work and how you play. And, when they make changes, they want to see what you're going to do, how you're going to respond, so that you can see what they do moving forward.
You feel you feel comfortable from one week to the next going from a natural surface to an artificial surface that you'll see this week, or do you like to have a couple days of work on it just to get your the feel of the bounce and everything that goes along with it?
You know, this might sound weird to some people, but I never really see a difference.
Between the natural or the artificial turf today and the natural grass?
It doesn't really bother me being on grass. I mean, our grass is kind of can get kind of bad sometimes.
Oh, it is not. Don't get caught up in criticizing the field at Soldier Field because good. It should be your weapon. That should be every opponent that comes in there to play should be so afraid of the surface because you know the reputation it has. But it's a good surface.
Yeah, if you have the right cleats, you know. You have the right cleats, you're good. Good to go.
But you know, at this stage of your NFL career, having played all the games that you've played there, you know what kind of cleat to put on.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, so it's not that big a deal. I think a bigger deal this Sunday, Adrian Peterson, more so than the playing surface. What'd you learn from last year and taking on the Vikings, and now that he's on the team this year, how has their offense completely changed?
Well, for one, they have Adrian back, so primarily they're gonna get him his touches, you know. And with a guy like that, you know, you got to be real gap sound. He bounces around a lot, and he's gonna make everybody have to tackle. We're talking about the corners, safeties, you gotta tackle this guy. And but he's a great player. We just gotta be sound in our techniques, our gaps, and be able to get them down.
You know, having a quarterback in Minnesota with clever feet, it makes it a little bit more difficult, too, because you do always have to respect Bridgewater's athleticism as you're trying to get to Adrian Peterson. What do you see out of him from the first? Do you watch very much tape of the first time you played him, or is it so far removed that you kind of watched the last four games of Minnesota?
Yeah, we watched some tape from the last time we played them guys, and yeah, and like you said, Bridgewater, he can be elusive in the pocket. He's like Jameis, how I describe him. They're pretty good in the pocket, know how to get out of there. But you know, we just got to be when we're rushing. You have, like I said, be calm in our rush lanes. Be able to plaster when he starts moving around there. Be able to get on guys because that's how the big plays happen, especially after off of those boots when you think Adrian's getting the ball and then Teddy's rolling out. You got to be sound in what you do.
That's the voice of Christian Jones, one of the Bears' inside linebackers. Tom Thayer is here. I'm Zach Zabin. We are live at the Sports Authority in Vernon Hills. Bears All Access rolls on Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score. Having some fun here at Sports Authority in Vernon Hills on Route 60. Tom Thayer is here. So is Bears' inside linebacker Christian Jones. Zach Zabin with you for the entire hour. Learning a lot about the Bears' defense, some of the players and the team, some of your former teammates at Florida State. The thing that we really haven't asked you, which I think is important, going forward, now that you've had a little bit of time playing in this defense at the position that you're playing, where do you have to get better? What are the things that you're looking to do over the final three games and taking into the offseason to help take your game to the next level?
I think for me, just being consistent on what I do on the field, just, you know, not taking a step back, one play, just being able to stay the same throughout the whole course of the game or whatever I have to do.
Do you learn anything about from last offseason? Did you learn anything about what you have to do physically during that period of time to make sure that you always have to get better? Mm-hmm. It's Christian Jones can't be only as good as you were last year or this year. It's always about getting better. What did you learn about that offseason preparation to make sure that you're ready for OTAs and beyond?
Mm-hmm. For one, I had to make sure I stayed in shape, of course. And I know for me, I focus on getting stronger, so going into the offseason, I wanted to make sure I came back stronger physically, you know, be able to play more downhill and be more physical.
When you have to eat on your own, is it harder to be disciplined because your offerings in a professional atmosphere are so quality that it's beneficial to you? What about when you have your downtime? Are you, are you going into places that you shouldn't, or are you pretty disciplined about it?
I'm actually pretty good on what I eat. I'm not really a big – I don't really stuff my face with a bunch of different kind of, bad food.
Right.
I've always been pretty big on that. And my sister, she's a personal trainer, so she always helps me out about what I need to put in my body and what I need to eat. So, in the off-season, I had my good three meals. And I was good.
Is she older or younger?
She's older.
Really? So she's got to be a nice, impressive influence on you in terms of, physically what's required of you. Because now that you've been through a couple seasons, like from day one to the last day of the season, it really is a lot of that requirements that you have to go through mentally and physically, isn't it?
Yeah, it is. It really is.
The official Chicago Bears Pro Shop has everything you need to make your holidays Bears blue and orange. Visit store.chicagobears.com. What's a cheat meal for you? Because obviously you can tell that you're disciplined in terms of the nutrition and the weights. So occasionally, I'm sure you're human, right? Yeah. You got to have something good.
Cheat meal probably be I like Wingstop and the fries, so that probably my big cheat meal.
And how often during the season do you put anything bad in your body?
There'll be times I go out and eat what I shouldn't eat, but I mean, for the most part, I eat pretty good. Always eat a lot of vegetables and chicken. Not really a big one. Junk food, except for probably my biggest weakness is candy. So yeah, I like candy.
You know, it's interesting hearing that because when you talk to most young players, the area of their physical fitness that's lacking is the nutrition. Because usually you can get away with eating some bad stuff when you're younger. And you talk to some of the older players, you talk to Matt Forte and Eddie Royal, and the reason that they've been able to last in the league, Jay Cutler, as long as they have, is because they take the nutrition seriously. But it sounds like you're already there.
I mean, I started in a freshman year in college. I mean, we was put around, we had nutritionists. You always talk to us about, you know, what we should eat and what we should not eat. And we always had a good, steady meal plan, even in college. So I guess that helped me to this point.
See, if any of the young football players are listening, that's a big key to developing you physically to the next level. Let's take a break. We'll come back, wrap things up from Sports Authority. Bears All Access on Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score. Spend game day with the Chicago Bears Network, starting with Bears Game Day Live, brought to you by Advocate Healthcare at 10:30 Sunday morning on Fox 32 Chicago. And after the game, Bears Game Night Live, brought to you by CDW at 10:35 p.m. after the final word on Fox 32 Chicago. Zach Zaidman, Tom Thayer, broadcasting live from the Sports Authority in Vernon Hills with special guest inside linebacker Christian Jones. What do you want to do over the remaining three games of the season to end things on a good note?
Pretty much, I just want to play my best game of football, you know, throughout the whole three games we have left. Just be out there, give it my all, you know, make some big plays, and hopefully as a team we can, you know, finish this strong and beat our two division opponents and, you know, finish rest undefeated. So that'd be great.
When a defense at this stage of the season, are you still putting in new things week to week? Or are you kind of like rehashing things that you put in maybe in training camp and just refining those types of things?
Yeah, there'd be new plays, but it'd be like it'd be just combine two plays, just, you know, make checks out the line,
right?
Depending on what they come out in, and then we bring up some stuff we ran in training camp. I know that's what we did.
Is it easier for you now, like just hearing the information and knowing immediately what it means to you and the other 10 guys, or is it still a process where you hear the information, you filter it, and then, you know, you fall into place according to the offensive personnel?
Yeah, I mean, we've been having a few plays like that so far throughout the season, so once the coach gives us a call, we just kind of see if they'll come out in, and then we...
Have you had to ever correct Shea yet? Have you had to put Shea in the right spot yet?
I mean...
It's okay. Yeah. Everybody is, you know, has that trial.
No, well, I was just gonna say, Shea's a play call, so sometimes he's got a lot. He's got to process a lot. And you know, when I'm out there with him, while he's giving the guys a call, I'll be looking. I just, you know, set the front or something, or make the check so he can be able to process what he needs to do. But we work together on it, you know. Sometimes you're in a rush to get the play out, so you just got to
It seems like out. When your opponent comes to the line of scrimmage and they make so many adjustments now, it's almost like Shea never stops verbalizing commands. Mm-hmm. That process is until the ball snaps.
Yeah, you know, communication is real important, and he does a great job of getting everybody the calls and making sure everybody's doing the right thing and line up in the right spots.
I got to make the call right now. It's time to say goodbye. For Christian Jones, thank you very much for joining us. And Tom Thayer, executive producer Greg Miller, Paul Zerang, who helped us blast through the speakers of your radio. I'm Zach Zaidman saying so long. Thanks for listening to Bears All Access, brought to you by Sports Authority on Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score.